Before we get into the teaching today, just want to share with you a few more things about my ministry. I preached my first sermon in
1989.
And in that time, I never thought I would ever be preaching in other countries. But God has moved along the way as I have been obedient to Him. I have never gone to a pastor and asked for the opportunity to preach in his church. I let God work that out. And in the process, God has taken me to several different nations. Each time that I have gone to those nations, I have worked with someone within those nations for that particular time. Whenever I go to another church and minister, I do not expect that church to pay my expenses. I don't expect them to pay for my transportation. I don't expect them to pay for my accommodations. I don't expect them to pay for my meals. And I tell them they do not have to receive an offering. And I do not charge an honorarium. A love offering. I tell them whatever God tells them to do, that's okay. So if they want to pay expenses or give me an offering, that is between them and God. When it comes to me going places and ministering, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Australia, South Korea, any other nation, including Kenya, I am not affiliated with any pastor. I am not affiliated with any organization, and there is no pastor anywhere who controls my ministry. Who controls my ministry? No man tells me where to preach. No man tells me where I can't preach. I have never ordained anyone in another nation to be my official representative in that nation. When God opens a door, I'll work with different people. I do not allow other people to dictate where I minister. I leave that up to God. If someone were to come to me and say, "Do not go preach in that person's church," I would ignore that person. I would pray, and if God says, "Go preach in that church," I will go preach in that church. It might make the other person mad. That's not my problem. It is their problem. Because out of pride, they were trying to lay claim to me. No man lays claim to me. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If I ever come back to Kenya, I don't know who I would work with in that next trip. That would be totally up to God.
Yes.
I let God work these things out. I am bound to love and friendship. But I am not bound to another man's ministry. So it doesn't matter where that ministry is located. Anywhere in the United States. Anywhere in any other nation. I am not controlled by anybody. That is not pride, it is not arrogance. It is submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul being told by somebody, you have to work with me, you cannot work with anyone else. The Apostle Paul would never work with that person. I am not saying this for any other reason than to let you know that I am serving Jesus and I will work with anyone that God directs me to work with. That's the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. At one time in my life, I pastored in a denomination. The Lord worked in a unique way and moved me to the church where I'm now pastoring. The church where I'm now pastoring is not a part of a denomination. But the denomination I was in told me I was not allowed to pastor that other church because it was not a part of their denomination. I told them, this is what God has called me to do. But they had a rule that said, if you are ordained or licensed by our denomination, you are forbidden to pastor in any other church. So they told me I had to bring my new church into the denomination. But that is not what we wanted. So the denomination kicked me out. And much was written about me in an international magazine. I have no regrets. If the denomination doesn't want me, that is between them and God. A denomination is not going to control my ministry. I will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Another thing I want to mention. Every year that I have come here, I have been asked to extend my trip and minister in other churches. But I cannot do that. And it's not because someone told me not to. It's because we already have our plane tickets booked. And we're not going to be able to change the schedule. So I will not be able to extend my trip. And if God so wills, I will come back. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and continue our study right now concerning the ministry of the pastor. Now, as we continue in this, we're going to learn more about the ministry of the pastor. More about meditating in Scripture. How to meditate in Scripture. And at the end of this seminar, I'm going to explain to you the principles from our new covenant on how to trust God for finances. Now, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Nasema jitahidi kujionyesha kuwa umekubaliwa na Mungu, mtenda kazi asiye na sababu ya kutahayari, akitumia kwa halali neno la kweli.
And in chapter 3 verses 16 and 17.
Katika sura hiyo ya 3 mstari wa 16 na 17.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Kila andiko lenye pumzi ya Mungu nafaa kwa mafundisho na kuwaonya watu makosa yao na kuwaongoza na kuwa waadabisha katika haki, ili mtu wa Mungu awe kamili, amekamilishwa apate kutenda kila tendo jema.
Now these are instructions to all Christians. But concerning the ministry of the pastor, I am to study the word of God and rightly divide his word of truth. To rightly divide the word of truth means to study his word in order. It means I don't jump from book to chapter, to verse, all throughout the Bible to create some strange teaching. I must study the Word of God in context. And all Scripture has been given to me by God. And it is profitable for my spiritual growth and maturity. It will bring correction in everything I believe. The end result is this. That I will be perfect. That means that I will be spiritually mature. It also means I will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Meaning I will be spiritually equipped to fulfill everything God has called me to do. The Holy Spirit will not do this outside the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who moved on people to give them the Word of God. I cannot stand in a prayer line and have a preacher lay hands on me and impart unto me the anointing I need for my ministry. That anointing only comes from the Holy Spirit. I cannot stand in a prayer line and have a preacher lay hands on me and impart unto me the equipping for my ministry. That comes from the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If I as a pastor tell people in my church to come forward in a prayer line so I can lay hands on them and impart unto them the will of God, I have just lied to those people. I cannot impart God's will to someone. I cannot impart God's anointing to someone. I cannot impart God's strength to someone. I cannot impart anything from God to that person.
kwa Mungu ambacho mimi nitakia ndani yako.
Now I can minister healing to someone.
Naweza kuhudumu uponyaji kwa mtu.
But I cannot give someone.
Lakini siwezi kupea mtu.
A ministry calling.
Wito wa huduma ya wito.
Or a gift of the Spirit.
Au kipawa cha Roho Mtakatifu.
These things only come from God.
Vitu hivi hutoka tu kwa Mungu.
As a shepherd over the flock.
Na mchungaji kwa ambaye kwa kundi lake.
I am supposed to teach the people.
Nafaa kufundisha watu.
To trust in God for all of these things.
Kumtumikia kumtumainia Mungu kuwapa vitu hivi vyote.
I am supposed to lead them.
Nafaa kuongoza.
To the throne of grace.
Mbele ya kiti cha neema.
To receive God's grace.
Wapokee neema ya Mungu.
For everything they need.
Kwa kile chochote wanachokihitaji.
I am to teach them.
Lazima niwafundishe.
How to trust God.
Jinsi ya kumtumainia Mungu.
To receive from him. This contradicts so much of what is taught in the body of Christ today. Too many preachers have given the people an impression. You come to me. I will lay hands on you. I will impart unto you the things of Almighty God. But a human being cannot impart to another person that which only comes from God. And there are a lot of preachers that need to understand this. But they have captured the attention of people. And in part, they have built their ministry on what they have convinced people. What they have convinced people that they can do. But it's not them. It's God. It is God. Even Jesus Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, of myself, I can do nothing. But it's the Father in me. He's the one who does it. Therefore, for me, I am supposed to minister to you and share these things with you from God's Word. Please turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Nasema hivi, kisha mafarisayo na baadhi ya waandishi waliotoka Yerusalemu wakakusanyika mbele yake. Wakaona wengine katika wanafunzi wake wakila vyakula kwa mikono najisi, yani isiyo nawiwa, kwa maana mafarisayo na Wayahudi wote wasi ponawa mikono mpaka kiwiko hawali wakishika mapokeo ya wazee wao, tena wakitoka sokoni wasipotawadha hawali, na yako mambo mengine waliopokea kuyashika kama kuosha vyombo na midumu na vyombo vya shaba. Basi wale mafarisayo na waandishi wakamuuliza, mbona wanafunzi wako hawaendi kwa kufuata mapokeo ya wazee, bali hula chakula kwa mikono najisi? Akawaambia, Isaya alitabiri vema juu yenu ninyi wanafiki, kama ilivyoandikwa, watu hawa huniheshimu kwa midomo, ila mioyo yao iko mbali nami. Nao waniabudu bure wakifundishwa mafundisho yaliyo maagizo ya wanadamu.
The traditions of man had been elevated above the word of God.
Mapokeo na damu ilikuwa imeinuliwa juu zaidi ya neno la Mungu.
If I teach people in the church
nikifundisha watu kanisani mwangu
that they can receive from me
kwamba wanaweza kupokea kutoka kwangu
what they can only receive from the Holy Spirit
vitu vinavyofaa wapokee kutoka kwa Roho Mtakatifu,
I have created a tradition
nitakuwa nimeanzisha mapokeo.
The tradition is pointing the people to me
ambao inaelekeza watu kwangu mimi.
And God says right here in His Word that if I begin to teach traditions over truth, then when I stand and I begin to worship the Lord, He says, your worship is in vain. You stand up and you tell me how great I am. You let people hear you sing the songs of Zion. But then you turn right around and you lead them away from me because you teach traditions. When you study to show yourself approved unto God and you are rightly dividing all scripture and relying on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you will begin removing the traditions from your own life. You will not be teaching those traditions. You will only begin teaching truth. And your worship will not be in vain. You will lead the people out of traditions and into the fullness of God's truth. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Now there's another important issue concerning the ministry of the pastor. In the 23rd Psalm, we read that the Lord is my shepherd. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the natural, a shepherd would have a rod and a staff. Not only were they used to bring correction to the sheep, but if a predator began to approach the flock, the shepherd could use the rod or the staff to protect the sheep. Not only do you have the responsibility to feed the flock of God, but you also have the responsibility to guard the flock of God. Please turn to Ezekiel 22. There are two areas you have to watch over. You have to guard the flock of God from attacks without and attacks within. In Ezekiel chapter 22, begin reading in verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law. They have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord.
Kiswahili nasema hivi, neno la Bwana likanijia kusema, mwanadamu, uiambie inchi, wewe inchi isiyo safika, wala kunyeshewa mvua siku za kadhabu, siku ya kadhabu, fitina ya manabii wake imo ndani yake, kama simba angurumae akirarua mawindo, wamekula roho za watu, utua kwa nguvu hazina na vitu vya thamani, wameongeza hesabu ya wajane wake ndani yake, makuhani wake wamehalifu sheria yangu, wametia unajisi vitu vyangu vitakatifu, huwaweka tofauti, hawakuweka utofauti kati ya vitu vitakatifu na vitu na vitu kutumiwa siku zote, wala hawakuwafundisha watu kupambanua vitu vichavu na vitu vilivyo safi, nao wamefumba macho yao wasiangalie sabato zangu, nami nimetiwa unajisi kati yao, wakuu wake kati yake wamekuwa kama mbwa mwitu wakirarua mawindo ili kumwaga damu na kuharibu roho za watu wapate faida kwa njia isiyo halali, na manabii wake wamewapakia chokaa isiyogorokwa vema, wakiona ubatili na kuwatabiria maneno ya uongo wakisema, Bwana Mungu asema hivi, iwapo Bwana hakusema neno. Watu wa inji wametumia udhalimu, wamenyang'anya kwa nguvu, naam, wamewatenda jeuri maskini na wahitaji, nao wamewaonea wageni bila haki. Nami nikatafuta mtu miongoni mwao atakaye litengeneza boma na kusimama mbele yangu mahali palipopomoga, wale kwa ajili ya inji nisije nikaiharibu, lakini sikuona mtu.
Notice in verse 25,
angalia katika mstari wa 25,
he says there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey.
Kwamba kunayo ubatili katika wale manabii wao walio katikati yao, wanaguruma kama simba wakinarua mawindo.
In the New Testament we are told that Satan is like a roaring lion.
Katika agano jipya tunaambiwa shetani ni kama simba anayeguruma.
But here this is not a reference to Satan.
Lakini hii haizungumzii shetani.
It is a reference to prophets in the midst of the body.
Inazungumzia manabii katikati ya mwili wa Kristo.
He says they are like a roaring lion.
Anasema wao ni kama simba anayeguruma.
Symbolically what this means is,
kile hii inamaanisha ni kwamba,
these people are not ministering out of their relationship with God.
Watu hao hawahudumu kutokana na uhusiano wao na Mungu.
But they are being inspired by the devil himself.
Lakini wanavuviwa na shetani mwenyewe.
They look like a good preacher. They may sound like a good preacher. People may respect them as a good preacher. But God says their message is not of him. In verse 27, he says, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. Jesus warned us there would be wolves in sheep's clothing who would be in the midst of us. They would look like everybody else, sound like everybody else, fit in like everybody else, but their message is not of God. Their message is inspired by the devil, and they're going to have a negative impact on the people. Look further on down in this chapter to verse 28. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. There are a lot of Christians today who want to be esteemed as a prophet or a prophetess. They promote themselves as prophet this or prophetess that. And because they do this, and because they know how to act like a prophet, and sometimes they act very strangely, people become enamored by them. They become enthralled by them, impressed by them. As a pastor, you have a responsibility. You need to know how to differentiate between false and true prophets. If you can't do that, you shouldn't be pastoring. A pastor has to guard the flock. Jesus said in the last days, false prophets would rise. And too many pastors are inviting these false prophets into their church. You will stand in greater judgment than the false prophet, because you had the opportunity to say, no, you will not minister here. Look in Matthew chapter 7. If anyone were to ever come to me and say, I am prophet so-and-so, God has sent me to minister in your church, I would immediately know they are a liar. They think God told them to do that, but God didn't tell them. Because God will promote people, you don't have to promote yourself. And if you have to go around bragging about who you are and what you can do, you're not being led of the Spirit. You let God promote you in your ministry. In Matthew chapter 7, and begin in verse 13. Jesus said, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt or evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Nasema hivi kwa Kiswahili, ingieni kwa kupitia mlango ulio mwembamba, maana mlango ni mpana na njia ni pana iendayo upotefuni. Nao ni wengi waingiao kwa mlango huo. Bali mlango ni mwembamba na njia imesogwa iendayo uzimani. Nao walionao ni wachache. Yadharini na manabii wa uongo. Watu wanaowajia wamevaa mavazi ya kondoo, walakini kwa ndani ni mbwa mwitu wakali. Mtawatambua kwa matunda yao. Je, watu huchuma zabibu katika miiba au tini katika mbaruti? Vivyo hivyo, kila mti mwema huzaa matunda mazuri, na mti mwovu huzaa matunda mabaya. Mti mwema hawezi kuzaa matunda mabaya, wala mti mwovu hawezi kuzaa matunda mazuri. Kila mti usiozaa tunda nzuri hukatwa ukatupwa motoni. Ndiposa kwa matunda yao mtawatambua. Si kila mtu aniambiaye Bwana, Bwana atakaye ingia katika ufalme wa mbinguni, bali ni yeye afanyaye mapenzi ya Baba yangu aliye mbinguni. Wengi wataniambia siku ile, Bwana, hatukufanya unabii kwa jina lako na kwa jina lako kutoa mapepo na kwa jina lako kufanya miujiza mingi? Ndipo nitakapowaambia dhahiri, sikuwajua ninyi kamwe. Ondokeni kwangu ninyi watendao maovu.
Jesus says, beware of these false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing.
Yesu akasema jihadharini na hawa wanabii wa uongo wanaowajia wamevaa mavazi ya kondoo.
In other words, they're going to look like they fit into the church.
Yaani wanaonekana kama wanatosha ndani ya kanisa.
But he says you're going to know them by their fruits.
Lakini akasema mtawajua kwa matunda yao.
Well, what fruits is he talking about?
Matunda gani haya yanazungumzia?
It cannot be the outward manifestation of power.
Haiwezi kuwa ile kudhihirisha ya nguvu.
Look in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? There are many Christians who look at other Christians and think that they are highly esteemed because it looks like God's power is manifesting.
Kuna Wakristo wengine ambao wanaona Wakristo wengine na kuwaheshimu sana kwa sababu wanaona kama kuna njia Mungu anawatumia kwa njia kubwa sana.
The fruits that he's talking about,
matunda anayozungumzia hapa,
it's not a manifestation of power. It's not a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit he's talking about is the word they preach. Just because someone stands up and says, yea, thus saith the Lord, it doesn't mean that they're prophesying for God. Anybody can say that. Jesus is saying you'll know people by the amount of truth they bear. I cannot depend on the gifts of the Spirit or a manifestation of God's power to confirm whether or not someone is truly of God. Look in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul had sent for the leadership of Ephesus. He wanted all of the leaders of those churches to meet him in Miletus. And essentially what he did was conduct a ministry conference. Now pick this up in verse 25. The Apostle Paul says this, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
Na sasa tazameni mimi najua ya kuwa ninyi nyote niliowahubiri ufalme wa Mungu nikienda huko na huko hamtaniona uso tena. Kwa hiyo nawashuhudia wote siku hii ya leo ya kuwa mimi sina hatia kwa damu ya mtu awaye yote, kwa maana sikujiepusha na kuwahubiri habari ya kusudi lote la Mungu. Jitunzeni nafsi zenu na kundi lote nalo ambalo Roho Mtakatifu ameweka ninyi kuwa waangalizi ndani yake, mpate kulilisha kanisa lake Mungu alilolinunua kwa damu yake mwenyewe. Najua mimi ya kuwa baada ya kuondoka kwangu mbwa mwitu wakali wataingia kwenu, wasilihurumie kundi. Tena katika ninyi wenyewe watainuka watu wakisema mapotofu, wawavute hao wanafunzi wawaandamie wao. Kwa hiyo kesheni, ukikumbuka ya kwamba miaka mitatu siku na mchana sikuacha kumuonya kila mtu kwa machozi. Basi sasa naweka katika mikono ya Mungu na kwa mikono ya neema yake ambalo naweza kuwajenga na kuwapa urithi pamoja nao wote waliotakaswa.
Paul is warning them,
Paulo anawaonya,
that after he leaves,
kwamba baada ya kutoka,
eventually wolves are going to come in.
Mbwa mwitu wataingia ndani.
And they're only going to serve to harm the sheep.
Nao nia yao ni kuharibu kondoo.
He even says,
hata anasema,
there are people within your group,
kuna watu ndani yenu,
that are going to begin to rise up,
ambao watainuka,
preach things that are wrong,
wahubiri vitu vibaya,
and lead people astray,
na kuongoza watu kwa upotofu.
Now think about this.
Fikiria jambo hili.
These are people who have sat under the ministry of the Apostle Paul.
Hawa ni watu wamekaa chini ya huduma ya Mtume Paulo.
You would think that people who have sat under the ministry of the Apostle Paul,
ungefikiria kwamba watu waliokaa chini ya huduma ya Mtume Paulo,
would have received everything that he had taught,
kwamba wamepokea yote aliyofundisha yeye,
and be firmly established in truth.
Na wakaweza kuimarika katika kweli.
But he's saying there are people in the midst,
lakini anawaambia katikati yenu,
attending that conference,
ambao wako kwa hii kongamano,
that even though they had heard him teach for years,
hata kama wamemsikia kufundisha miaka,
they had not received what was taught,
bado hawajapokea aliyoyafundisha,
and they were going to rise up with wrong doctrine,
na watainuka na mafundisho mbaya.
As a pastor,
kama mchungaji,
you have to guard your flock,
lazima ulinde kundi lako,
from wolves without and wolves within.
Kuwalinda kutokana na mbwa mwitu wa nje na mbwa mwitu wa ndani kwa ndani.
Every single church,
kila kanisa,
that is preaching truth,
ambayo inahubiri kweli ya Mungu,
is going to be attacked from wolves without and wolves within.
Itashambuliwa na mbwa mwitu wa nje na mbwa mwitu wa ndani.
It is happening now.
Inafanyika sasa hivi.
No church is exempt.
Hakuna kanisa litaepuka hiyo.
This is why it's so important.
Na ndio sababu ni muhimu sana.
For a pastor to say in an intimate fellowship with Jesus,
mchungaji akae katika uhusiano wa karibu na Yesu.
Because the Holy Spirit will let you know,
maana Roho Mtakatifu
who you need to watch. He will identify people in your church who are wolves in sheep's clothing. And it's very, very possible that a wolf in sheep's clothing could be one of the elders in your church, could be one of the teachers in your church, could be one of the bishops in your church, just because someone has a title. It does not mean they're qualified to minister. Man is too quick to give titles and not hold preachers accountable to truth. As a pastor, you have a responsibility to guard your flock. I'll share with you some things that have happened to me over the years. Every month, it seems, I receive emails from preachers. You are supposed to come and minister in my church. God has shown me you're the man. You need to come to my church. I will set up crusades for you. We will go to different villages, different cities, and we will preach the gospel. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? The problem is these people don't know anything about me. All they did was get on the internet and start looking for preachers and looking for websites, and when they find somebody that they think they could get to come over, they start sending emails. Oh, but you are the man. God has spoken to me. You are supposed to come here. No, I'm not. God didn't speak to me. If God wants me to preach in your village, I will go. And many times when I get these invitations, I ask these preachers some questions, such as, how many of my sermons have you listened to? Nearly every single one of them replies, not one. They're inviting me to come and preach, and they don't know what I preach. But what they do know is this: I'm an American preacher, and I must have lots of money. So if they can get me over here, they can get money from me. I'm not a fool. I know these things. And I just wonder, are any of those pastors in this room? Maybe I should just move on, right? Some of these pastors, they get on Facebook. And they ask to be a friend. Then they go through the list of friends of other people. And they send friend requests to everybody. And if they find people who are Christians, they may send them a Facebook message. I invite you to come and preach a crusade in my church. And they don't know anything about these people. I've had people contact me. This is something you don't know. And they ask me about these preachers or these people. They ask me, do you know this person? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. And they say, but I've received an invitation. And I tell them, you better watch out. Because when you get over there, you may be asked to finance a ministry.
kuwa sponsor wa hii huduma.
I am not casting stones at anyone here.
Mimi sipigi mtu na mawe yoyote hapa jamani.
But your laughter proves you know what I'm talking about.
Nashukuru kulingana kucheka kwenu mnaelewa ninasema nini.
Yes, we do.
If you do not know the fruit of a pastor, you are a fool if you invite that person to preach. Why in God's green earth? Why on God's green earth would you open your pulpit to someone you've never heard before? You don't know what they're going to teach. You have to guard the flock. Over the years in my own ministry, there are preachers that I used to think I would like to have preach in my church. But as time has gone on, God has opened my eyes to their ministry. And I have seen the error that they preach. And they will not be preaching in my pulpit. And if I were to name names, some of you would know the preachers I'm talking about. And it's I don't want famous people in my pulpit who could attract big audiences and big offerings. I want those in the pulpit who know the Word of God, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and they're only going to minister out of truth. Hallelujah. I know of some pastors. They may have a guest preacher come in every 1 or 2 months. You should never do that. You don't have to turn to this. But I encourage you later on to read John chapter 10. Because in John chapter 10, Jesus talks about the sheep hearing his voice. The sheep need to hear the voice of their shepherd. If you're the pastor of the church, you are Jesus' shepherd to those people. They need to hear your voice. It's not wrong to have guest preachers, but to have a constant flow of guest preachers, it takes away from the strong relationship between the pastor and the sheep. It is very, very rare that I have guest preachers in my church. Once a year we have a ministry conference. It lasts for 1 week. And there are only certain people who minister. These are people I have known for years. I know their life. I know their doctrine. I know their walk with Jesus. And I know they're going to do the people right. I do not have just anybody come in. I do not have just anyone come in because I think they might do a good job. Over the years, there are preachers that I have had come in and preach in my church. But since that time, they have gotten into problems and error. They will never again preach in my church until they get their lives right. As a pastor, you have to guard your flock. It doesn't matter who it is. Do not let them behind the pulpit until you know their heart. They may be nice, kind, and loving people, but you've got to know their walk with Jesus Christ. You've got to know their doctrine. You've got to know what they preach and teach. And if you don't know these things, do not let them in your church. Oh, they can come and sit and listen, but don't bring them up to feed the flock, because you don't know if they're going to feed truth or poison. You are the under shepherd to the chief shepherd. You must establish relationships in the spirit and know those who labor among you. Just because someone in your church says, "God's called me to preach," it doesn't mean they're ready to preach in your church. They may have served in your church for 20 years, but still be spiritually immature. They may know how to stand up and grab a microphone and shout and scream and get the people excited. But shouting and screaming doesn't feed the flock. They need the Word of God. So even the people in your church, you have got to know their heart. You've got to know their doctrine. If there are people who could have sat for years under the ministry of the Apostle Paul and still be ravening wolves inside, you have the same potential in your church. Just because you can trust someone to serve in the church does not mean they're ready to stand behind the pulpit. This is so absolutely critical. And there are some pastors who've contacted me. Come to my country. Come to my village and preach. One of these pastors, I asked him, "How many sermons of mine have you listened to?" I haven't heard from him since. Suddenly, he's not interested in me, because I'm calling him to account. You must guard the flock. I cannot emphasize this enough. You must guard the flock. Praise God. Praise God. Please stand.